a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. After leaving the mountain, Jesus and his disciples made their way through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know because he was instructing his disciples. He was telling them, "The Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of men. They will put him to death, and 3 days after he has been put to death, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he said and were afraid to ask him. They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" They said nothing, because they had been arguing which of them was the greatest. So he sat down, called the 12 to him, and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must make himself last of all and servant of all." He then took a little child, set him in front of them, put his arms round him, and said to them, "Anyone who welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Mrs. Munt, a character in E.M. Forster's novel Howards End, published in 1910, is said to collect new ideas as a squirrel collects nuts. And the new idea that excites her most is the importance of an independent income. "The very soul of the world is economic," says her niece Margaret, "and the lowest abyss is not the absence of love, but the absence of coin." This new idea gets a hold on Mrs. Munt, and she asks Margaret if she is for the rich or for the poor. But Margaret finds that question too difficult and puts it another way by asking herself if she is for poverty or riches. And she opts for riches. So does her aunt. "For riches," echoed Mrs. Munt, having, as it were, at last secured her nut. The abyss to which Margaret refers in the novel denotes the fate of anyone in the Edwardian society of the time who did not have an income, independent or otherwise, let alone riches. Another character in the novel, Leonard Bast, a young and insignificant clerk in a powerful insurance company, is trying to better himself, but balances on the edge of this abyss. Margaret and her sister Helen attempt to find him more secure employment, but unwittingly and unintentionally, they render him destitute. The novel speaks to the reader of the abyss that divides those who are powerful and those who are poor in this world. A century earlier, the essayist William Hazlitt wrote, "The love of liberty is the love of others. The love of power is the love of oneself." The love of power is not confined to any particular century. It's found in every age and in all kinds of people. The Book of Wisdom was written during the first half of the first century before Christ, and the passage we heard in our first reading today is concerned with the age-old mystery of suffering, in particular that which is inflicted on others by those who are powerful and who see a virtuous life as a reproach to their own. It's about the conflict between worldly power and a life entrusted to God. The link between this extract from Wisdom and the Gospel today is in Jesus' prophecy of his passion. His words are beyond the disciples' grasp, and their response could not be further removed from his message. They allow the love of power to take hold of them, and they argue among themselves on the road as to which of them is the greatest. But then a child enters the scene, and Jesus teaches that the child holds the secret of true greatness. Only if we have childlike simplicity and trust can God's word find a home in us. Paradoxically, a child also represents powerlessness. The disciples are called to welcome the child, for in so doing they welcome God, who in Jesus accepts powerlessness in the face of worldly power, even to accepting death on a cross. In Howards End, Margaret and Helen try to welcome the powerless in the person of Leonard Bast. When, on their advice, he changes his employment, but then loses his job and is penniless, Helen embarrasses her sister by bringing Leonard and his wife to a lavish society wedding. "I'll stand in justice no longer," she says. "I'll show up the wretchedness that lies underneath this luxury, this talk of impersonal forces, this cant about God doing what we're too slack to do ourselves." Yet still, she's powerless to change anything for the better, except that in her, Leonard knows that he has at least one friend, even if, in the end, his life ends in tragedy. "I'll stand in justice no longer." Words that cry out for an answer, especially for those who've been made redundant or can't find work, or who are struggling to bring up a young family by themselves, or who are refugees and have no country to call their own. There are many problems in the world today that can make people feel powerless. The easy way out is to consider that these problems are due to forces beyond our control, and so think we can't do anything about them. We're not responsible for the recession and people losing their jobs because firms go bust. That's the fault of greedy bankers. We're not responsible for tyrannical regimes in many a country in the world. That's responsible for those who rule them. But this is not the way of Christ. In his life and in his teaching, Jesus demonstrates a deep concern for those who are downtrodden, belittled, and ignored by the world. He teaches us that our first concern should always be for those who are poor and powerless, the little ones of this world. Because in serving them, we are welcoming and serving Christ himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.